Yeah. A new start for a new wave of Trippers Mark II. We've only had the same theme music for 4 years now at this stage. So we've got a new one. It's another Johnny Rep song, Give. So boom, 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 boom in the room. Anyway, big announcement. We've got a sponsor finally once and for all on this podcast. We're delighted to announce that we've started up a sponsorship with Skillzone. If you're watching the Periscope earlier on, you would have heard the advertisement that was in there. And of course, what are Skillzone? So basically, what you guys need to know out there, Skillzone is Dublin's first multi-sport indoor circuit. What that means is you can test your skills against your mates or try and get a place in the Skillzone leaderboard in 10 different sports, including football, golf chipping, target practice, rugby, and there's also pitching and batting and other stuff like that. And if you can get in the top 10, I think if you can get 1,000 points across all of the skills, you can win up to €10,000. And we are so excited about this, that the lads are going to do the World Games live from Skillzone Sandyford. The first four competitors up there are going to be myself, Jamie, Steve-O and Andy. Andy claims to be the greatest World Games contestant of all time, and this is his chance to prove it. So,
whoa, did you not hear what was revealed on Twitter today?
No.
He's been and lost. He's lost his 0-1. He's 0-1.
Yeah, he's made the hot favourite.
Supposedly, though, he was sick. He was sick when he played.
Andy Young sat here 2 weeks ago telling us how good he is. He can stand at the edge of the 18-yard box and cannot fail to hit the crossbar if somebody tells him to hit the crossbar. This fella is arguably the greatest the World Games player of all time, allegedly, right?
Now we find out
the first time he ever turned up at the World Games, he lost.
Lost his friend. I've even seen the medal that his mate won.
We've all seen Rocky 1, lads. We know how Rocky 2 turns out.
If anyone doesn't know what Skillzone is, they should definitely get onto the website. It's a skill from each sort of section of sports.
Ten sports, I think.
So I'll go out and I'd say it's the best fun you can have with your clothes on.
It is, yeah. That's not bad going, because like, swimming is great crack as well. Yeah. And they don't have a swimming pool in the place. We'll see if we can get them. Maybe you could swim with sharks or something as one of the skills. But in fairness, you've got there's pitching and there's kicking a rugby ball and there's 12 sports. It's in the ad, and when I do the ad properly on the pod, you'll see what it is. And if anyone's coming out for a stags party, it would be a brilliant one for a stags party. Yeah. And there's plenty of decent pubs up around the place as well. You're not too far from the goat when you're up in Skillzone as well, and you're also near to step in, and there's a lot of things. So, and look, get on down to Skillzone. It'd be ideal for stag parties or even just birthday parties, you know, with a few mates. If there's a few of you wanting to do an outing or something like that from work or with the football team, it's perfect for that type of thing. So get on down there. It's definitely worth a go, and we're delighted to be partnering with them on the Monday Club from here on out. Right, coming up next, we have the review of the Crystal Palace game. We look forward to the Hoffenheim game, and we finish the Trippers chats. And also stick around for the end of the podcast, because there is probably the most sensational bit of podcasting that this podcast has ever done in its life. Our new Tripper debutant Umang is just simply unbelievable with what he's after doing. So that's it. So here's the cut that you never notice. Right, so welcome along to tonight's podcast. Of course, we're looking back at the match that was the weekend. Who will we play again? Oh yeah, it was Crystal Palace, and it was turned out to be a great result for Liverpool Football Club. I don't know where we're going to start, but we will start somewhere. There's a lot to talk about in terms of what the game that went on.
And I suppose
we could. I suppose the one thing I wanted to ask about is, as we look back at the Crystal Palace game, given how poor our recent record has been against them, right, and the fact that we managed to turn them over quite well, a lot was made of the squad. A lot was made of the team that started that match, right, and it raised a few eyebrows. But the realistic situation, lads, is we are in the Champions League. The fans have to get used to squad rotation. But does it not show up as well, the lack of depth that's in that squad, Shawnee?
Yeah, 100%.
Hang on, yeah. I'm asking Shawnee.
Yeah, I do think so. Yeah, like I wasn't expecting that many changes, and when I seen that, like, I was saying, Jesus, like, Palace are normally a ropey team at home, and to go with nearly almost a complete new back four, I thought was a bit mad, considering we've only played two games. But like, a whole lot could be riding on Wednesday that we don't know about. As to how important qualifying for the Champions League group stages is to what we want to do going forward.
Yeah, I think looking on Saturday, I think people only have to look back at what happened under Benitez for them 6 years when we were in qualifiers. He was always he'd have the qualifier on the Wednesday at the start of the season. He'd throw his full hand in the qualifier and then he'd throw Skelton outside on the weekend, home to get a win. And I think that's what we're going to have to start getting used to. I think because we haven't been in so long, people are actually forgetting
what it was.
Well, what it's actually like. Yeah. And I think it's going to be like that. Because look, I think even if we, God forbid, we get beaten, we're going to have European games anyway. And I think we've a couple of home games. I think after the first European game, Burnley are at home. So like it's going to be like that in a couple of these games where he throws the Skelton's going out and they're going, it's going to be nervy. It's going to be 1-0, 2-1. And he was going to have to ride with. Like, I think even regardless whether the squad is strong or not, they travel to Germany. They're going to be travelling.
Yeah.
Even if they go, every team has wobbles after European games. It's
going to Yeah, I was actually pleasantly surprised to begin with that he actually did make five changes. Because if you remember from him last season, you know, he just played the same team over and over again. And I thought the first five games of the season, he did the same thing.
Yeah.
He would just play the same players, same 11 players or 12 or 13 or whatever. So I was pleased about the team selection. Worried to begin with when I saw it. I thought the forward line was fine enough. But at the back, obviously, what he did. But again, I'm pleasantly surprised. You know, I actually thought that we actually progressed out of it because I think we came out with, maybe we'll talk about the defence a bit more in a minute, but Robertson looked good. Gomez looked all right, you know. I think he's still a centre back, not a right back, and we looked. Even though Clavan's not, he's definitely a fourth choice, fifth choice centre back. I still felt that we looked actually reasonably comfortable, although yeah. Palace didn't have much to them. So turned out actually that it was all round the right move decision to do that.
You know.
Yeah, well, I suppose the benefit of hindsight, isn't it? Kind of logic dictates that you're going to have to make changes. I was surprised with the two fullback changes, particularly. I mean, what did he say? With their last three Premiership games, we played six different fullbacks, I think someone was saying to me. I don't know how true that is. Is that true? Yeah. So, yeah, listen, it worked, but I think it was like Robbie was saying, it was a bit of a punt, but the logic dictated that we had to do it. You know what I mean?
So, turn your phone off. Fine.
So, anyway, yeah, you missed all that. Listen, we got the win. We stumbled through. It wasn't, regardless of the popular misconception that we played really well. We didn't play really well. We stumbled through. We got the win, and that's kind of really all that matters.
I think we dominated more than we did.
Yeah, I don't think we did stumble through. Like,
so
I think now, this isn't just me being hopelessly optimistic and, you know, and positive. But we played a game against Hoffenheim, which was a tough game away in Germany. Got the result. We looked leggy in that game. Mm. There's a couple of players that looked leggy, so we made changes. On paper, you're looking at the back five, going, okay, that doesn't look great. I'll be honest, it didn't look great. But then, as we sort of went into the first half, we didn't start like a rocket. You know, I think we've been spoiled over the years thinking that this high tempo, first minute action is going to blow teams away. It was very controlled.
Very safe, also.
Very safe. Yeah. And like, you lads were panicking in the WhatsApp group going, oh, fuck, it's not good enough. I was like, lads, a lot of football here. Like, we just found our way into the game. We were very controlled. They had one chance through Benteke, which, you know, we knocked off a little bit. But we actually created a lot of chances over the 90 minutes. We had to wait till the 70-odd minutes to get a goal. But overall, it was a very composed and controlled performance from a team.
The last 20 minutes, like, it looked more likely to be 2-3 than 1-0.
Yeah, we dealt with their aerial threat.
I'm not
well.
Sure how I feel about being in the 90th minute and me four players and Matip camping on the edge of the opposition box.
I fundamentally disagree with that, right? I thought our midfield was pants.
Midfield was appalling.
I thought the midfield was appalling.
You and control if you can't, the game, though.
In what sense?
You didn't control the game. Of course you controlled the game.
We actually controlled the game this time down the flanks. We didn't control anything through midfield. Because
we only had to look at the game. Yeah. Everything went through Robertson.
Henderson was abysmal. Literally, Henderson has gotten Lucas's boots. He can't run anymore. It looks sad to see a player who literally can't seem to run anymore. Right,
yeah, but he's
played about five games.
Ah, oh, Jamie, listen, I'm hearing this. I'm looking at a fella.
He's got to be at it straight away after a fucking 6 months out.
Jamie, let's be realistic. Hang on a second. You've had your spoke saying that everything was positive and everything, and I'm telling you now, I see problems in that midfield. And these are fellas that you would have said 2 weeks ago. Henderson is nailed on to start.
Mm.
Wijnaldum's nailed on to start.
The only thing I will Wijnaldum, say,
Wijnaldum didn't even turn up at the weekend. He decided he'd have a day off.
I think he's a really strange player because I think that he's a really clever player. And I think the thing about him is I think he's got the ability to do so much more than he does.
He's not brave enough.
I think that's the problem.
Technically, he's really good at just poor.
It's a one-touch move, you know, but he doesn't get into the box enough. He doesn't do enough of anything enough, right? And I think he's got so much more than he can do. But I don't know if Klopp also tells him to do a lot of sort of, you know, sort of runs where he's, you know, so even though like he had less touches of the ball in Hoffenheim than
Milner carried his water.
I actually don't think that we were that bad. I just think we were very safe. And I think that's what happened in the first half is that we just picked sideway passes. It was recycled.
But we didn't look in any trouble.
No, and that's what I meant about it being kind of control. We were quite controlled in our play, and I think as the game went on, we come out second half, we had a little bit more impetus. We were sort of pressing them more. We sort of went at them a little bit more. But it all was very safe. But I kind of felt with
even
Milner,
like there were people were banging on about Mane after the game. Didn't think he had his best game.
I'm just saying,
that's a sign of a good player.
For me, when I look at my midfield and I look at players, right, and I look at the squad options, I want players of equal ability to come in. And at the moment, right, I'm looking at Chan is 100% nailed on starting midfielder for us. Right, people can disagree. Can debate it, but all they want, he's 100% nailed on starting. And
whilst Alana's injured, he is.
No, well, he is ahead of Henderson in that team.
But I wouldn't play Henderson and Chan. There's no point playing Henderson.
He is ahead of Henderson in that team, and has been since Jürgen Klopp took over as manager.
Nonsense.
He has never been dropped.
He has never been
dropped by Jürgen Klopp.
Not at the start of the season. It was only because he came back again. He had some already.
No, I do agree with you. You only had to look at the Hoffenheim game when Milner came off, I think. Oh, when Henderson came off, and I think we put Milner in the middle. The game changed.
We look better.
The game changed.
It's managing Henderson's fitness, though.
The one saving grace I think Henderson has at the moment is if you look at that Burnley away game last season, mm-hmm. the uproar that, and he was absolutely poisoned.
Henderson's one of the most important players to our team. Listen, when fit.
Chan is too slow on the ball to be
starting
midfielder.
I think Chan is a far better number six. I think when he's a defensive midfielder, we just look a lot more
solid. The thing is, Henderson's based a lot of his game around these rangy passes. Mm. And if he's not on that, he gives you nothing.
I've got a theory on that. I think I heard it there. I listened to a podcast there the other day, and it was a great point. I think it might have been Sean Rogers on the Anfield Wrap, and he turned around and said, basically, friends of the show, the Anfield Rap. What he said, now that we've got two outlet balls in Mane and Salah with pace, what our midfielders are doing is they're rushing the game. Whereas we used to do such a patient build-up, little touches, and then break, we're automatically looking for that out ball because we know that those two pacey wingers can make something of it. So we're forcing it. So Henderson, for example, is always looking for that big ping when, to be honest, we could actually do with just keeping
it. He's not a great passer either.
I think
his best part of his game is with his energy, and because he can't run anymore, he's noticing that. He's snappy, but also he's everywhere, right?
I just think he's so easily bypassed by opposition.
I actually think a three midfielder all suffer from the same thing. Wijnaldum, Chan and Henderson. Neither of them are a constant presence in 90 minutes of a game. They all have little spells where they go in and out games.
I agree, but at the moment, the fella who is Klopp's nailed on starter in midfield is Emre Can.
I agree. Emre Can's is
You listen to the quotes that Klopp came out with. Even the other day, it was like, it was so good to be able to take Henderson off. So good to actually be able to do it.
But this is the thing with
Liverpool fans. There's no reason, you look at something and it's, he's shite, he's finished now. No, he's not. He's had a long layoff and it's going to take him a bit of time to get his momentum back. If it was Chan last year, Lucas, everyone was like, but you've got to give him chance there. He's got an injury. Yeah, you know, it takes him a few games to get back. Now it's Henderson and it's popular.
Chan played through an injury over half a season last year.
Henderson's been doing it his whole Liverpool career, to be honest.
Ankle's fucked.
That's part of their point.
Let's look at another example of how both players are treated differently, right? So Jordan Henderson comes out about Philip Coutinho and turns around and goes, I can't influence the decision. I can't get him to change his mind. Emre Can comes out and says, if he decides to go to Barcelona, I'll be delighted for him. No one says a fucking thing about that.
Henderson's a captain. And the one thing about
Emre Can's supposedly the captain in waiting. What's the difference?
One other thing that I think about Henderson, just sort of similar but different point. When we saw him in Champions League and he did the interview after Klopp, he didn't look like a captain, and he was asked those questions. He looked nervous. He looked rowdy. He should be coming out and saying, "I'm proud. I'm a Liverpool captain." Show a lot more passion. You know, when he did before the game, Champions League. You're a rabbit in headlights here. You're the captain of Liverpool Football Club.
Jamie, you're a huge fan of Henderson.
I'm a huge fan of him.
So you've got your boys.
No, but what I'm going to say
is, you don't have boys.
You said you're a huge fan of Henderson.
I'm a huge fan of Henderson, but I'll also be able to say I think he's been getting bypassed in these games too easily. But that's down to the fact that he's trying to get momentum in probably the most unforgiving of setups possible. Yet we all as fans, again, it's this over-analysis of particular players. He has to be at full throttle. No, he doesn't. It's going to take him 5 to 10 games. Be patient. You've seen what he can do. He dictates games from the middle, whether it's short, long passes.
I don't think he dictates any game.
I've said to you all along, and I'd stand by it, I think he's a great lieutenant.
You're talking
about... He's not a general.
I think there's an element of truth in that. I will give you that. I think there is an element of truth in that, but in this current Liverpool setup, when he's at full throttle, there's no one that even laces his boots.
You're talking about Chan being starting ahead of him. You look at the first half of last season when Henderson played. We played the best football in the league by a mile. And he was pinging balls to Mane.
He had his energy. He had the greatest skill that he's got
for
his energy.
With a nothing injury for 6 months.
Listen, if any of them were at that point, we wouldn't be trying to go on 150 million for Katie.
Correct.
I mean? So they're obviously not up to the standard that's required.
They're not at the elite level.
Can be improved, Neil. I don't think it's a case of that, but I just I don't understand. Again, everybody has favourites. I do lean towards Henderson over Chan, but I still really like Chan. But I'm just
incredibly dismissive of what you just said there.
What did I say?
Everybody can be improved, Neil.
Who was the best midfielder on the pitch on Saturday? Was Miller.
Sorry,
bro. Sorry?
Miller. Was the best our best performer midfielder on Saturday.
Statistically the best in Europe, Sean.
These headphones around at the moment. I'm going to choke you out with the headphones.
It's my last pod for a while, so I'm going out in a blaze of glory.
I see Phil's point with Henderson. We've all seen Henderson have great games for Liverpool. The only thing is...
He doesn't look anywhere near it at the moment.
The only thing that sticks with me with Chan is ever present and he's reliable.
I know
when he struggled with his injury, reliable. He didn't look so good. But once he's always in the squad.
Yeah. He's always, and when he's fit.
I want to move on because we could be like this.
For the Liverpool football team, he moves the ball too slow. Way that we need to play, he moves the ball too slow.
It's the midfield was shit. Like basically, anyway, right? But and it was. There's no ways around it. Midfield was shit, right?
Wait, where are you after?
Jesus, he always gives us 30 minutes, then gets off. So.
Right, the next one. The next thing I want to talk about was the real positives in the game. Robertson. Right, I know people are saying we're giving out about Mane, but he was at the absolute centre of everything good that happened on the pitch.
Everything that happened went
through. Robertson.
It's a proper football.
I was scared. No, hang on a second. I'm gonna roll back, and I'm gonna ask you on this because I asked the lads, and the lads were all backing me up on this one as well. Right, people going over the top on Robertson now need to take out the debut of Alberto Moreno against Tottenham Hotspur, and then go back into Twitter and look at every single comment that came afterwards. Because if you take away Moreno's name and insert Robertson, it's identical, right? But I think it should be celebrated how good a performance Robertson did put in, because it looked mature, it looked disciplined, and do you know what? It looked like a measured left full's performance. Yeah. And I know it was against Crystal Palace or whatever it is, but still, you have to turn up on the day.
He played well. I also thought it was kind of interesting how I think Klopp likes that. He had it at Dortmund with Schmelzer as well, where he likes that left back who goes on the outside. And I think with Milner last season, he was getting forward, but he kept cutting inside. So I thought that was fairly positive in that. But it'd be holding fire until I actually seen
it's mad. I wasn't expecting to see Robertson until probably the first Carling Cup game. Gone by Klopp saying, oh, well, it's going to take time and that. And then when he just dropped him in like that, but it was a very, very good, solid performance.
It's the variety in his game that impressed me.
The consistency as well as the delivery.
Oh, it's unreal. Yeah. And it's in that, what's the phrase that I love?
The corridor. There you go. The thing is, it doesn't look like our attackers are wide.
They weren't. They were shot by the
Bobby's
think,
not a traditional number nine.
Do you know who I think will be great getting on the end of Robertson's? And Salah.
Yeah.
Salah sniffing around at the back stick.
Yeah, he's a goal scorer. He's got that instinct, doesn't he? Yeah. And he's a good header of the ball as
but
well.
But that's the biggest win, I think, of having somebody now that will go outside down the outside, is if you're Mane who's playing on the left, he can stand somebody up and wait for that run beyond him, and automatically the fullback either has to go or somebody has to go with him, which creates more space for Mane.
I never found myself on Saturday watching that game going, and I'm sure we've all done it when Moreno's playing as good as he can be going forward, you're saying, what the fuck Moreno at there? Robertson was always in position.
You trusted him, and the weird thing is, it looked like the lads trusted him. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? They just kept the ball. I think he had more touches than any other player in the team from left back. It was kind.
He had more touches for a left back called Andrew Robertson than any.
Sorry, I'm talking about Robertson.
Robinson, yeah.
What did you think? Well, he done really well, yeah. But I wasn't surprised, because anytime I've seen him playing, that's the way he plays. He's really impressive. I mean, it's amazing.
That one time in pre-season?
No.
Don't bullshit me and say you watched any football matches.
I only watched the second halves.
I don't like to brag, but I was a big fan of him and Harry Maguire.
You did say that.
Him and Harry Maguire. He was really, really
Harry Maguire is basically...
He's going to be the next England centre back.
Him
and
tell
you.
That's Harry now an indictment of a centre back.
Let's not get
it. All right, Harry Maguire is better than...
Harry Matsali, he'd be better off in that than he would in the centre back.
Harry Maguire would be very good for Liverpool Football Club if he had pace along.
That's what he's saying.
If Fabio Cannavaro was called Dejan Lovren, he'd be the best centre back in the world.
If you have pace alongside
him, if Andy had Barge, he'd be my uncle.
Hey, there we go.
Can we not get ahead of ourselves either? Like, he'd done really well. He was probably an 8 out of 10. He's not Marcello overnight, you know.
Listen to me. To get a 7 out of 10 centre left full on a consistent basis would be brilliant.
Stay
right?
Thin in that camp.
And I think one thing, Robbie, we were talking about this beforehand. I think people need to start also remember Nathaniel Cloyne is a 7 out of 10 right fullback, and people are losing their crap over Alexander. It's great seeing Trent Alexander come true, right? Absolutely brilliant seeing him coming through. But Nathaniel Cloyne is a top level right full.
Defensively,
yeah.
And also in terms of consistency. The fella has been there, he's done it. And if you think that because Alexander Arnold scored a great free kick in Hoffenheim, that Cloyne is going to be dumped on the sideline, you're mad.
I agree.
But Cloyne wouldn't have been cut out for their goal.
I
think the key now is we have options, and I think that the thing that excites me the most is we became so predictable against those teams that like to sit deep, because they knew if they gave it to our fullbacks, they did absolutely nothing with it.
Yeah. But that only a symptom of that when Manny got injured, though, because it wasn't really a problem before he was out of team.
No, but I think for the first 3 months, four months, of last season, it was all right.
But Manny got injured, and
if you take that pace out of our side, we're going to struggle. But even with him in the side buzzing around, you to have that fullback that, as we said, that can go on the outside, can deliver quality, even if they just hug the touchline and have the threat that they can deliver quality, it creates space in the middle. Yeah. Because we didn't have that, it was just so congested and teams could camp there all day.
And to be honest, Palace tried to do that as well. Palace gave us the space on the wings, and that's why Robinson got so much space.
It was a couple of times, and that was the thing I loved about Robinson. I said before, is variety. Like, he was so clever with his little interchanging passes, his little triangles, and he wouldn't stop. He wouldn't pass it and admire it and go, oh yeah, that was a great ball.
He'd
ghost the running round the back, and then it just gets slid in again, and that's proper game intelligence. That like, it was really good.
He's very comfortable on the ball. He's a good footballer.
Yeah, he's got a proper footballer's brain. So I think as a young lad coming into that that environment,
early signs are very good.
Yeah, really good.
Okay, look, the other thing I wanted, we briefly touched on Mane, right? Solanke. Brilliant introduction.
When he come on, yeah.
Like he really seems to have something about him.
My new favourite player.
I think he's ahead of Origi in the pecking order now, to be honest.
Yeah,
he came on ahead of him.
Has Origi shit.
Yeah. He came on ahead of him like against Hoffenheim, and I remember saying to me dad watching it that it kind of looks a bit that if he's bringing them on in games like that to seal out, because he brought Origi on against Watford.
He trusts him.
He fucking shit the bed big time where before the goal he made a mistake. And if he's bringing him on in them two games, I reckon
he really looks the part, doesn't he? Yeah. And he's a prick.
It's selfish in front of goal.
No, I'd say he's a prick as in
a person.
Dirty bastard. You know what I mean? Like Diego Costa prick.
Oh, really?
The way he carries himself around the pitch.
He just has that, doesn't he?
He
has an aura about him, hasn't
he? He's a big unit.
That was one of the issues, supposedly, at Chelsea, is he was like, look, I should be playing in this team.
Do you know what? Klopp loved as well, like that. The way he won that he chased that ball for the goal. Yeah, that goal is all him.
That's right.
Klopp made up a new phrase there. It was the counter press for the
Gegenpress. When the goal starts, right?
What does that mean?
When you watch the first thing of the goal in real time, it's like, wow, what happened there? That's amazing. Then they showed a slowdown from a reverse angle, and it was like a pinball wizard goal.
Yeah,
it was over.
Did you hear Klopp? That was a counter press to the Gegenpress. I just thought, shut up, you knob. He tried to say this was amazing. He was done by Solanke. The ball was just bouncing off geezers.
Is this your anti-Klopp stance coming out?
It is. That's a bullshit term.
It's not a bullshit term. It's a German
term. If Roger said that, the place would have fell apart.
Do you know what I love about Solanke? The way he gets opposition players torn and gets fouled. all the time and boys' time. Like, I said before, he's 19, he's a 28-year-old.
His body movement, his runs and all, he just knows. He just looks the real deal.
Yeah. The one thing that stuck out when we went to the Bilbao game is his movement. And he's got this we said it, didn't he? He always finds himself in the right position in the centre of the box. You were moaning about Andy Carroll always either going to one of the posts or hung up at the back post and defenders were winning.
He's making a nuisance of himself.
He's always in the right spot.
Am I right when I said he made a big challenge in the box as well, didn't he?
Did he?
He did.
Yeah.
He did in his own half.
Yeah.
Clearing the ball at the edge of his box.
Yeah, the edge of his box as well.
Listen, you know, it's great to see a young player come through, and that's all you want to see.
Didn't
you know,
come
and
through for him, Dom.
There's one thing about buying a young player who everyone expects to be in the under-23s to do what he did in pre-season, to put himself into first team recognition. It's like, genuinely, it's great to see it because hopefully we have a talent come through.
Oh,
it could go
brilliant.
Origi's way, it may go in Gog's way,
I don't
or whatever.
Think it does.
No, but I'm just saying, we've all been here before. It's the same with Robertson. We've all been here with young players. We've all been here thinking this is the next good player that's coming through, and then it doesn't turn out. But do you know what? The main thing is, it seems that he does have something about him, and every time he appears on the pitch, something is happening around him, and that's huge.
Him and Trent seem to have that thing where they don't give a shit.
Yeah. And that's what Gruwich has that. He backs himself.
Yeah, exactly. Where Origi, you could see sometimes him being bullied out of games, but Solanke's kind of like...
He seems such a confidence player, Origi, and it looks like he kind of knows... He's acting like a player who knows that he's fallen down the pecking order, whereas Solanke, you can see his shoulders are back.
Yeah, exactly.
He just wants the ball.
He's not really Solanke, because he's only come in and he's making a name for himself. Origi knows that this is do or die for him this season.
It's got to be his last
season.
Exactly. He had that name player at the tournament at the World Cup, didn't he?
Solanke, yeah. No, but Origi has lost his confidence since the whole of last season. I can't remember him. I can't remember the last time I saw him play.
He's a very streaky player, though, isn't he?
We can get on to it because we're going to talk about the half and home game.
So, Kevin, what would you say your main skills are?
Rugby, soccer, Gaelic, tennis, climbing, basketball, shooting, golf, baseball, and hanging tough.
Test your sports skills at Skillzone, Ireland's first multi-sports indoor circuit. Be the first to get 100 points and you'll also win €10,000. Skillzone Sandyford. See skillzone.ie. T's and C's apply.
Okay, lads, so look, moving away from the Palace game, we've got a massive game this Wednesday. Arguably, I know we said it after, before the last half of the home game, but given a 2-1 lead going into the second leg, it's arguably the biggest game the club looks at, right?
It's a whopper.
We've got two away goals. We have the lead. We're taking it back to Anfield. Can't afford any slip ups.
Don't use that term.
Yeah. Bring it back, my Remy.
Ray is at the farm down the stairs.
Umang.
Yeah.
Can you see us doing anything but get the right result on Wednesday?
I think we'll get through.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll make it easy for ourselves because we're Liverpool football
club.
I think the best thing we can do is not play Lovren, but you know, I think he will bring back Lovren. I think he'll bring back Lovren and Moreno, to be honest with you. I don't know, Robertson maybe has played himself into the game. I don't know. I would love him if he does bring Robertson, but I don't think he will. Mm. I think he'll just he'll go back to pretty much the 11 that started the game there. I'd love us, the crowd get behind us, we get an early goal. Because that settles everyone's nerves and gives us a little bit more breathing room. But I think we'll get through. But shall I give my prediction on the score now or later on? Or
yeah, so. Go for it now.
I think we'll win 2-1.
Grant, I'll come back and ask you at the end anyway. So.
If you score for, I think
it's just score force, isn't it?
Score force, I think, because they need... But scoring force doesn't really make a difference then, because they still need 2 to get extra time. But I think it gives them a bit more of a psychological advantage that they need 3 to win it.
Yeah.
I can see the game being a lot like the Stoke game in the League Cup a couple of years ago where we took a lead back. I reckon I'd like him to go like first 20 minutes and have a high tempo start and try and actually get that goal, but I actually kind of think he'll try and play them on the break because they're going to, the way they played last week, they were very little, they left a lot of gaps, and if they come at us Salah and Mane with the pace, we should catch them out. But yeah, I'm fairly as
were they good last week? Because I wasn't sure.
They were brave. I think that was the team. Like, they tried
to play like
nervous teams.
There was a very good point made on the post match pod by the Aussie lads on Wednesday morning after when we released it, right?
Yeah.
And they said the first half, Hoffenheim were brilliant, right? Mm. And they got a chance towards the end of the first half where they went over the top. They went very direct. player got in behind us and we managed to get away with it, right? And I think the other hit the post, or Mignolet made a good one-on-one save in it, right? And it was like Nagelsmann at half-time wanted him to go more direct, thinking that he could get to us by going over the top. And that actually played into our own hands because they gave up space for us to play the ball through midfield. Mm. Klopp made the adjustment to take Henderson off and put Milner in there, and it changes the face of the game because they weren't interested in trying to play through us at that stage. They wanted to play over us. And it gave us the space and allowed our players to get on the ball and actually start creating things. And our second half was so much better than our first half. We become more powerful and we dominate the game from there on. I see them going into this game trying to replicate what they did in the first half and being less direct, which may cause us trouble. If the only thing is the pitch, and we never talked about it in the game,
slow.
But the Anfield pitch looks very slow because it's so new.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they approach it because your man seems like a very front foot manager like that because he seemed to be very naive last week in the way he set up. It was kind of like, well, we'll show them rather than we'll keep it tight. So that might play into our hands a bit that if he's naive, it might leave space. I'm still fairly confident about
it. He was probably influenced by the Watford game, to be fair. You know what I mean? And that probably changed the way that he set up.
Agree with Robbie. I think his naivety probably caused them in the end.
Mm.
The changes, he made changes too early as well.
But did you hear his comments after the game as well, where he was quite aggressive towards Klopp's comments? Yeah. So
the last time that happened was when we played Villarreal and Marcelino, the Villarreal manager, said something similar about Klopp and we kind of made a show of him. So
and that's the thing I've kind of got in the back of my head is
that's your memory, Robbie. It's unreal.
Wait, I'll tell you what, we're going to be testing memories very soon. Go on. I haven't dropped this on you, but
Klopp. Oh, yeah. I kind of think off the back of him making those statements, it's helped us massively because that Anfield crowd now will be so up for it. Yeah. And some of their players will shit their pants.
Yes.
For the first 20 minutes.
I honestly thought they looked very nervous. I think the occasion overawed them a little bit.
They're going to be turning up, and I have no doubt that the fans will be out on the streets, banging on the bus. They'll have the flares going. They will make it as intimidating as possible for them.
Score early.
I
think it's gas. Yeah, they'll be intimidated by the Anfield crowd. Unless the Anfield crowd that turns up for big games and sings through the 90, they won't be intimidated by the crowd.
European games are always different, Phil.
Well, we hope so.
This is arguably one of the biggest games in the club's recent history.
Have you heard the Mo Salah song?
Yeah, I heard a bit of it.
Do you want to give us a little go
now? Mo Salah. Ocean Colour scene.
Oh, right. Do you want to carry on?
No, that's it. It's a very short
song, man.
Yeah, well, it was just a little snippet, Phil. You know, if you want to hear a lot of it, go on to NSS.
Right, go on.
It's funny you mentioned Lovren before. I think it's telling that Lovren was the one that got dropped. I think he's his first choice centre back. People do not want to hear this.
Lovren is his first choice centre back.
You don't see the way they were hugging when he came on for his little cameo. He really likes Dejan Lovren.
We have said this.
I think I'd sick me mouth there.
We've said this through the summer, non-stop, right? And despite whatever's out there, despite whatever biases, whatever you have, right? Dejan Lovren, since Jurgen Klopp has come into this club, has been the first defensive name on the team sheet. He loves Lovren. He's the first fella he hugs in the defence, no matter what happens, right?
Finger up the
most. Giving the armband.
And no matter who's been fit, once he's been fit, he's figured out a way to put him in, whether it's right centre back or left centre back.
I'm sorry.
It's important. Because if you don't point, nobody knows what you're talking about, especially when you're talking about Polish.
Yeah.
Anyway, I totally agree with you. He's
he comes back in, and we have to. Are we going to go on to Clavan in a bit, or can we do it now?
Well, we can roll it in. I'm not going back to him.
Okay, so
he's not
going to
play, is he?
No, he's not. I think Lovren will come in and play alongside Matip. That's his first choice centre backs. Just a little note for Clavin. I thought he was excellent against Crystal Palace.
I thought
he was really good.
Well,
I'm
not going to say excellent. He done what?
I think he did more than what would have been expected. Yeah. Like, more distribution wise, I thought he was really good. But Lovren comes back in whenever it's a big game. That's the man he tells.
Fernandinho comes back in. Goes back in the middle, doesn't he?
You can tell an awful lot about Dejan Lovren and his force ball. His force interaction in a game. You know what you're going to get.
I said last week
at Hoffenheim, I think the ball bounced off his knee or something.
Yeah.
You absolutely knew
what was going to happen, right?
We all knew.
And until the penalty happens, he doesn't recover his composure in the whole game.
We said it in a group.
You know what it is? He's like dog chasing his tail. If he does make the mistake, he kills himself on 90 minutes trying to rectify it. Mm. He doesn't know how to just take himself out of a situation.
He's trying to prove to... No, I agree with you, Phil.
Neil, sorry. He is an idiot.
He's trying to prove to everybody in the stadium that even if I've made a mistake, I'm still dumb.
He's an idiot. Yeah. He tries to be an alpha male and he couldn't be four off on
it. I said it to...
He's an idiot.
I said it to the lads.
He's an average centre half and he's also an idiot.
I said it to the lads in the group. The first thing you're taught as a kid, if you're having a bad game, right?
Get rid of it.
Is for 5 to 10 minutes, go back to basics. And all that is
get back around.
Short passes. Yeah. Keep the ball. Don't make mistakes. And you will play yourself back into the game. Whereas what Lovren will do is the fucking polar opposite of that is, all right, I've just fucked up. I'm going to do 15 step overs and a backflip. Why are you doing that, mate?
Here's an example. Was Gomez on Saturday. Had a poor 20 minutes and played himself back into the game.
Yeah. Just keep it
safe. That's what you do as a defender.
You know, it's not,
don't take chances.
It's not rocket science.
No, exactly.
The problem is Lovren isn't really that good and he's a moron.
Come here, Lovren's got... Rodgers loved him.
Rodgers had to love him, though. He played 20 minutes.
But it's, you know, we don't play the way Southampton played, where Lovren can look all right. He had one good season his entire career, and we paid 20 million for him. But why do all these managers love him?
I have to say, though, if either of those centre backs alongside a dominant centre back would be infinitely better. Dejan Lovren was excellent alongside Fonte in that Southampton side.
That's Southampton side, and it's funny enough, the same setup the way Spurs are now. I don't think defenders are ever going to actually look good in that game because we're so fucking hyped to pitch.
Carragher keeps saying it. I think
You look at Morendi, he has a left back there who literally is chasing down the fucking goalkeeper in the 90th.
Carragher said it. But there's a lot of truth in it. Carragher said it, I think, when he played in that friendly. No, he played in the friendly in Australia. And obviously, the players are still used to playing the way the Klopp wants to play. And Carragher's in there, and he's looking around, and he's trying to keep everybody tight. And then he looks around, and he's the only man there. Yeah. And he's like, where the fuck's the rest of me defence? And he come off after the game, he's like, no wonder these lads are struggling, because they're so exposed. And we've said it about Van Dijk. I think that's why he will help, because he's strong in one-on-one situations.
Klopp pointed out after the game on Saturday that he was impressed with how Gomez and Robertson dug the lads out in centre-half.
Covered round,
And that those two boys just being in position for 80% of the game
doesn't make a difference.
Made a huge difference. We didn't see Clavan getting isolated. Yeah. Mm. And a lot of you are playing against Benteke up top on his own. Mm. If he goes with Moreno again, we're going to see them problems.
Yeah. That would be the interesting one for me, is who plays left back.
I think he will.
I hope not, but I think he will.
I'd like to see Robinson play, but probably will go back to Moreno.
I have to say, but your point about he's his first choice centre back strikes back then that Emre Can is his first choice centre midfielder.
Where is it?
Drop that film.
Get out of that is Can didn't have a full pre-season, so maybe it's taken a little bit more time, so he's just giving him a little rest.
If Can was bald, ugly and from bleeding Maisie, so he'd feel it hate.
His name would be Jay Spearing. No, but genuinely, if I look at who was left out, I think the Moreno thing is up for grabs. I know Klopp has put all the good words, and I think he's looking at Moreno. He's definitely a squad option this year, where he wasn't a squad option last year. I think he's going to look at Robertson. He's going, hang on a second, this fella gave me something else that I didn't get, right? Yeah. And he's going to look at that midfield and he goes, not one of them is better than Emre Can at the moment.
I'd say you got the same team as last week. To be honest,
I think he'll do that.
Actually, we've looked better with Milner.
I think we've got to get used to that, lads.
I think when Milner came on for the last half round against Hoffenheim, he was brilliant. I thought he was very good on Saturday against Palace. I thought he stood out.
I wouldn't go that far now. Because, and I'll tell you why I wouldn't go.
We look more open when he came on against
Milner's. What Milner has done well in coming on those games or stepping in when he's done is he's changed the tempo in our midfield. Right? But if you start them there, you don't get a chance to change the tempo midfield, because what you're going to do is, if you take him off, you're going to bring somebody on who's going to be slower than him.
It's more of an impact. He might be right, Phil.
Right. Whereas at the moment, you can, if you think there's no tempo in that midfield, or you have no energy, or you've no legs in there, you can take one of them out and you can put him in and he'll run around like a mad thing.
Do you know what's mad, right? He has got the worst
hair.
Force touch.
No, I just think it's massively unfair the way the fans treat James Milner.
I'm always in his corner,
we'll say certain fractions of probably Twitter, because they're not, they're an odd bunch at times, is that
being kind.
Yeah, he is such a superb professional, right? And he's come into Liverpool He's done a job at left back. He's more than done a job at left back. And then everybody said, me included, and I'll hold my hands up, is, oh, I don't fancy him in centre mid. Oh, I don't fancy him. And he's actually done a decent job so far in centre mid, when I thought, oh God, I don't like the sound of that. And I think he'll continue to do that for
us.
He will,
but it's a load of bollocks. Everybody's only doing a decent job. Nobody is... Why did you buy any fucking players, for fuck's sake?
No, I think Neil has a valid point. I think when you look at it and say, right, the players we have signed, Salah, electric, comes on at the weekend and straight away it just causes havoc in the other defence, chances all over the shop. Solanke comes on, impact, straight away has an effect, has an impact on the pitch, Robertson comes on, has an impact in terms of the pitch. Now, the places where we haven't signed a centre midfielder, and our midfield looks like Portage, right? We haven't signed a centre back. And regardless of whether he thinks Lovren is the greatest defender, or he thinks Matip is the greatest defender, or Clavin can do a job, or Gomez can do a job, we're still coughing up stupid chances. We've given away stupid goals already within the first hour of the season. We got a clean sheet, and we're going into the Hoffenheim game where, in a different day, we could have been 3-0 down going in at half time as opposed to where we were.
We had the opportunity to improve in those areas, and we didn't.
I still think we bring in a centre back and a centre midfield.
I think we do as well, but even like, he also. Yeah. We've been down this road before where we've had managers, specifically Benitez, who had first choice players, and he worked down the list and ended up buying a fifth or sixth choice fucking player.
Antonio Nunes,
Jan Kromkamp, Jermaine Pennant. And they were always talking
about it. Imagine if we bought Danny Alves instead of Jermaine Pennant.
That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to buy that Danny Alves instead of buying the Jermaine Pennant. Yeah, he's actually trying to get that first choice player. And so we've been down this road before, so that's why I'm actually kind of alright with him actually not.
Club signings haven't worked out. I would argue maybe just Karius.
Stephen Corker.
When Alan was going to the end of last season.
Come on, don't be starting
he's
that
had a poor
again
start.
Now.
No. Well, actually, when Casper with Invisible Ghost,
he's been poor this season. He was 45 minutes
in the last game of last season. He scored the goal that got us into the.
He was one of our best players last year.
He won his games.
He was one of the best players last year. You admitted that yourself. At the end of the season, you had fair dues. You've been all right.
We're going to have to wait a half a season for him to turn up.
That's the worrying thing.
But you can't deem his whole tenure at Liverpool as a failure because of a couple of fucking dodgy.
He works in such extremes. Phil can do whatever he wants. You forgot that.
He does work in extremes.
He's like the apocalypse. Just look at him.
We talk about Klopp liking Lovren and Chan. I reckon Klopp absolutely loves Wijnaldum. He does a lot of things that. I don't say it was
fantastic. That's why he was just trying to replace him when Naby Keita came in the summer.
Yeah, and then he drops him, But no, I think he's probably got orders in to do stuff on the pitch that maybe even we're supposed to.
He looks like he's carrying. Did you see him trying to run on Saturday?
A home in field look like to be fucking eating burgers and doing weights all season long and are training for the World Games instead of fucking playing football. None of them can move. It's like, lads, come on, the fuck. He was meant to be.
They look at laying lopped his cheek like a gazelle.
Now, maybe this is reversed to last year, but the time we get to January, they'll have lost all the extra bit, right? And they'll be flying around the pitch when everybody else are running around.
That's
the
actually the Dublin Gar team have a certain same kind of thing in the
Timing.
League. Yeah, no, Timing. In the league, they'd be kind of chubby and everyone be faster, but by the time the championship comes around,
they're in peak physical.
They're flying,
I actually think this narrative that our squad. Is fat. Yeah.
And except for Sacco. But he could be now since he's not taking the
free Sacco. Free Sacco one.
Is it possible that Sacco's just not getting back into the squad because he's a big fat bastard now?
He's not that good as well. That's what it is.
It
annoys me that people just gravitate towards him like he's a god. He's walked out on the club before the Merseyside derby. He's broken a million and one rules. He's an unprofessional
Wednesday,
tip, and people prefer him to the club.
The midfield would go out on Wednesday. Henderson, Coutinho, Wijnaldum. Coutinho's playing on Wednesday.
Nah, he's not. He's got a back injury.
Nah, he'll be all right. Neuro defend. Get in there, little tick.
If you look at
the second gaff is back in your grand.
I genuinely don't think we need that many players other than a centre back and a centre midfielder. Yeah. I think we've made five changes. We've made five changes at the weekend after a European game. Yeah. On paper, didn't look great, but we got the results. Yeah. That to me says we have squad. We made five changes. But we made five changes to the starting 11, and then we brought people on. From the bench that made an impact. So that says we have a squad.
Phil, you're a fan of making big ball predictions after two games and writing people off. After two games, we're ahead of everybody and we're a game away from qualifying for the Champions League with this boy squad. Hold on.
Well, which are the top sides?
Who's ahead of us in the league?
Apart from United.
Apart from United, who's ahead of us?
Who's ahead of us in the league?
No, of the top
apart
six.
From United. Hang on. Who's ahead of us in the league apart from somebody else?
No.
Apart from teams. Huddersfield.
Of the top six.
West Brom.
The teams that we're competing with.
It doesn't fucking matter that we're not on top of the league.
I said no, who's ahead of us?
He does this. He just shouts a lot.
So I do it, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, Henderson.
But it's not that bad.
The
point is, it's not that bad. Teams that are up there challenging haven't signed that many players. Look at Tottenham, for example.
Except for United, who signed
players. And we're on the verge of qualifying for the Champions League against the most difficult team that we can
play. I'll put it in a league. It's four margins again. The Watford game, fine margins, right?
Offside
goal.
Offside goal,
whatever way you look
it's
at it.
1928.
Right? Saturday, if.
Otto von Bismarck will be in here. Otto von Bismarck is calling Jurgen Klopp in for this team. Come on.
And the Red Baron.
And by the time I get to finish this fucking conversation with you, you're knocked out of roof stage, for fuck's sake.
It's fine margins, Sean.
If Benteke's chance goes in, we're all going, what the fuck was he thinking playing that back four instead? No matter how well they play. Yeah, that's just how it goes.
Or we finish the 25 chances that we create.
Yeah, that's
football.
Yeah.
But the point is, we're nowhere near as bad as what people seem to be making.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone's saying we're bad.
When you've seen the lineup on Saturday, did you go, Jesus?
I was a bit worried about the back five.
Yeah.
But then that shows maybe I underestimate the squad. I think Klopp has a massive faith in these players.
I think this team has actually evolved better than actually people. They're actually like used to winning games. And they're actually like, if you look at winning that 1-0, it seems a bigger deal to us than this today. And we actually think they're more calm about winning games.
I don't know about that. The Watford game before that didn't go great.
But hold on, you've got to concede like goals. Like if you look at last season, the last four games, you can see the goal.
I think as well,
we've got five clean sheets in our last six Premier League games.
It's great having loads of podcasts because I don't have to worry about the weekend at all. I don't even know who we're playing. Who are we playing? Arsenal. Who cares? Anyway, somebody else to look after that during the week. Don't have to worry about what draws.
Whatever one we're in.
Europa League's Friday morning. Who knows that shit when Europa League's on? Only him.
I'm thinking of the worst case scenario here.
At least we're in. The best thing we know is that we're definitely in a draw before the weekend for a group of
games. If you want to set your alarms for Thursday morning at 4:15, the League Cup draw is on in Beijing.
The League Cup draw is on in Beijing. Are they playing the games out there this year?
No, the best thing is about it. They're not picking the balls out. They're going into a go-go bar and they're shooting the ping pong. All by six, please. Hopefully Lulu gives us a home draw. She'll be getting a tip the next time I'm over.
Slip the cock into a glory hole.
Look, Hoffenheim. None of us even remember any of their players. Sandro Wagner. That's the only one that sticks out to me. No, I was just taking heart.
And he looks a bit like Steve Brown.
Wagner.
Yeah.
Oh well, yeah.
Do you remember? Yeah.
She's gorgeous.
That's my boss's wife.
She's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous. But yeah,
I thought their centre back was excellent.
Darren Day, the lad in the middle, was very good as well.
Darren O'Day.
Darren O'Day from the north side. The way, like, he actually ran
Harry
a game.
Bay. No, the captain. The captain in the middle who actually ran a game.
The captain in the middle who ran the game. Number 10 in the middle was zinging balls around like the way we see Henderson doing it. But he was actually doing it.
Their manager's a little prick, isn't
he? Yeah,
everyone's giving out a short. I hope he wears the same short.
You probably hope they win, you prick.
Oh, I can't wait till Mignolet fucks up. Anyway.
It's coming, isn't it?
Oh, it's coming.
It's coming.
It's like, you know, when there's a tsunami, right? And they tell you that the water just disappears out off the beach for miles. And it's like, where's the water gone? That's what's happening at the moment. Yeah. Mignolet, it's like, oh, he's doing that, right?
The tide's just gone out.
That's why there's sharks and whales and everything lying on the beach there about 5 miles out. The tide has just gone out. It's coming. And
is there anything state in the rule of football that you can play two goalkeepers?
Yes.
Two people.
Bollock. Well, money joke.
Who else would you play though? Gary isn't ready either.
Yeah, we haven't got any good ones. Yeah.
Okay, so look, we get past. Deadly. Do we win?
What should be given a
chance? Sean, do we win?
Yeah.
Against Hoffenheim.
We go through.
Do we win?
No, we get beaten 4-4.
Okay.
We don't. We won a one-all draw.
No, we don't.
We do win away goals.
They don't count anymore.
It'd be 1-all draw. I reckon we'll be hanging on at the end.
1-all draw.
I thought 2-1, but I think again there'll be there will be moments of panic in our defence.
Yeah,
I
think
we win.
Yeah,
I think we win, but we concede.
We concede. Jamie,
2-0.
Half
of
them, Jesus.
Blow them away.
Hang on a second. Pay attention to Jamie. He got last week's predictions right. So because of it, he's now Mystic Jamie.
Yep. I predict these things.
Yeah,
I love that. Love that.
Exactly. Okay, Jamie. Jamie's done his homework with the Trippers Chats this week. So we're not going to have any dead air. We can go straight into the Trippers Chats. Jamie.
So I'm going to go to Neil Gray for the first one.
All right.
It's specifically addressed to Neil from David Glennon. And he asked, Neil, would you consider yourself to be... How do you say that, lad?
What are you going to say? A misanthrope?
Or have you displayed any...
misanthropic characteristics?
Go on, lad.
I quite like people. You answer that question for me, Jay.
My experience over the last 2.5 years of you, Neil, is you're a people person.
Thank you.
You light up a room when you walk
Thank
in.
Thank you.
And you're fun to be around.
Thank you.
You're also...
What do you want that for your quiz
now? A supper for a session. You like a good
love
session?
Love a session, yeah, love a session. Anyway, yeah, Glenno, you're talking out your pipe. Stick it up your hole.
next one,
right, so we're talking food on this one. If you were to pick a takeaway, would you pick Indian or Chinese?
Easy here.
Easy for me as well.
Yeah.
Indian.
Reason being?
Because Indians eat Indian takeaway. I've never seen a Chinese eat a train one.
That's a fair point.
And I'm not chippers in Italy.
Right, Robbie.
Chinese. Yeah, just like spice boxes.
Spice box doesn't make a spicy box.
The fella from Ballyfermot came up with the spice bag.
They did. Yeah.
Umang, Indian or Chinese?
Well, I'm Indian myself, so
I know. But hang on a second. See, this is the thing, right? You're in a unique position. You're Indian yourself, so you obviously know Indian cuisine, right?
Yeah.
But
so you've also been in Ireland.
He's been
a lamb baldy.
I'm the one that's doing that, you know. I'll go in there and pick
lamb
up
lamb baldy.
He's the best Indian food.
Gravy.
He's been in Ireland long enough though to get involved in the Chinese. So what's it? Which one are you going for?
Well, in Ireland, I won't have the Chinese or the Indian. To be honest with you,
because I'm not fuck up.
I'll tweak the question then. As an Indian yourself, if you were to pick a meal to have, what would it be from an Indian? What would be your favourite meal?
That's like asking Neil, would you prefer Henderson or Chan, for fuck's sake, Jamie? Come on.
Henderson.
I would the first food I'd always buy would be a chicken curry Indian. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Spicy.
Yeah. Spicy.
Yeah, I'd be a fan of a spicy red curry. What about you, Phil?
Neither, thanks. I'm going Mexican.
Mexican? Yeah. Oh, are we on to death row
meals?
No,
I'm just saying. But I want to do a very quick one, right? And this is not in your questions. What's the C-Sweets, Chris Sweets on Facebook? Wanted to know.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
He wanted to know what's happened with the Trippers. 1 minute we couldn't get a podcast out for 2 months. Next minute we're knocking out 100 podcasts a week. So basically, what happened was
you start shouting at everybody, Phil.
Again, yeah, I'd stopped shouting for the best part of a year and a half, and then I started shouting at everyone again, and it seemed to have worked.
And you don't let a good thing die.
How
many contributors now have we got?
Check out what
at the moment, we're at 37.
We don't do things by halves, to be honest, do we?
No, you're either all in or you're all out. It's one of your.
And how many podcasts now are we doing a week in total?
I think there's
only 3. We're doing we've
6 an hour.
Are coming up with just dogs barking at each other.
We call it the Barkcast. Next week we start the DC Comic Podcast.
Can't wait, but I'm on that.
You were on that. Nate said begged for a comic podcast.
What?
We've got 5 guaranteed weekly ones. Yep. We've got a monthly one with the ladies in red.
And you're really happy with yourself for that, aren't you?
We're actually looking into going into doing Sunday Mass as well.
Sure, actually doing that. Krista Borg is
Lippo fans. She's getting over that.
Oh, listen.
Listen.
I won't be revealing too much because there is a lot of things, but there's also another 2 pods to reveal over the course of the next few days.
And do you know what, listeners? We don't even know.
Here's one from Shawnee. Is this an Irish thing?
Yeah.
Who's the clapped pancake of the group?
I don't know what that is.
Does anyone know what that means?
Well, he's the clapped pancake of Twitter.
Yeah.
Before I finish, right, I've got a challenge here. How good is your memory?
Mine's pretty good, yeah.
Mine's horrendous.
Well, let me step
is this
up
now, what type is this? This football related knowledge, or is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it.
So, Umang said to me when we were at the Bilbao match that he can remember every single Liverpool result since 1987. So, lads, get your phones.
Can you say that on the pod just so we've got actual evidence of it?
I can remember almost all Liverpool results since 87-88. I can remember any game from 87-88. I can probably tell you the scores of the game and probably the team as well.
Bet you I know what you definitely don't know.
Maybe not after this podcast.
He's even watched 200 hours of Lover.
That's impressive. I didn't even watch the Hoffenheim match.
Did you know?
No,
well, that's not the first time you turned up.
No, I went second half.
Do you remember the time you turned up and you started telling us about the United match?
It was 3 weeks before. Are we all having a go with this?
Go on, pick a match. Yeah. Pick a match from 1987. Pick any match from 1987.
87, 88, 89, those years.
Those years.
I can remember.
Liverpool, Newcastle. Oh, no, I was at this.
Which year?
What year was it? Mirandinho scored for Newcastle.
Yeah, 4-1 to us. No. Is that 4-1
Jesus Christ.
Gary Gillespie's 500 appearance.
No, was it?
Right,
no,
that was 1989 for you, right? To okay. Fixtures and results. So anyone want to talk there? So for the preferred.
Here comes the first competition coming up for Umang. So here is Jamie's entry.
Okay. So are we talking just league or can we do cup?
You can do cup as well. Not the pre-season friendlies though.
Okay. Yeah. So when we played West Ham in the League Cup. What was the score?
Is that 88-89?
It's 88-89.
So it's about November time, late November, 28th, 29th of November. We lost 4-1.
Hang on. That's fucking weird.
Wednesday, the 30th of November, West Ham 4, Liverpool 1.
Absolutely weird.
Oh no, we've got to do two more because that's fucking unbelievable.
Oh, okay. I'm a very good driver.
You
a very good driver.
I have one up there. Robbie's up.
Do you know what Umang's first name is?
What?
Rain.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Robbie. Robbie's got one.
That's my nickname.
87-88, obviously, sees me won the league. Home to Wimbledon. What was the score and who were the scores?
It was around March 88.
Yeah, it was.
It's the first time Dalglish came on as a sub that season. And we won 2-1.
Oh, that's weird. It's weird.
Go on.
2-1. Fucking hell.
Goal scores.
Barnes and Aldridge.
Fuck's sake.
There's no better way to wrap the pod than on that bombshell. And that's a cut for you to show out.
Charlie Madden, unbelievable.
Do one more.
I'll just pick an awkward one, but there probably isn't anyone there.
Give us an end of that DVD, will you?
Liverpool versus Norwich City in the league in the 88-89
At Anfield or at Carrow Road?
At Anfield.
We lost 1-0 just before Christmas.
Saturday the 17th of December.
Week before Christmas. Norwich City won.
Definitely.
Fuck
you. Do you know what? When you're on a date, you should mention that.
Okay, that's a wrap. So thanks again for listening to the podcast. Again, as ever, the Monday Club sponsored by skillzone.ie in Sandyford. The multi-sports arena, get down there and test your skills and let's see how you can do against the Trippers boys when we do turn up. As ever, big thanks to the lads here in the Astro for letting us do it. But a bigger thanks to the guys who came in tonight. It was, of course, Shawnee FC. We had Robbie O'Rourke in here, Robbie O'Riordan as it turns out to be. We had Neil Gray, of course. We had Jamie Holm and we had debutant Umang in as well. Adding some incredible knowledge to this podcast. Of course, it was myself, Phil Casey. Good night, God bless. We'll see you next Monday. And don't forget, check out www.skillzone.ie.
I've got a stat for you.
Yep.
Stat on the trip is James Milner had the best pass completion rate in European football over the weekend.
That was only in training.
Jamie, that's absolutely fantastic. Thanks for that. I'll just foil it under. I don't give a bollocks. Right. Anyway.
Well done, Jay.
And you'd get a reaction there. Yeah. Stats on the trip is.
Yeah, honestly, thanks for those stats. That was brilliant. And
no,
if you enjoy stats like that, fuck off somewhere else. Because you won't be getting any more. You'll never come in here again if you ever bring shit like that into this podcast. Do you hear me? Don't ever bring out statistics in this podcast. You know that they are banned.
That worked out
absolutely
well.
Absolutely banned.